like sci-fi story. We want to be the one that owns the other sci-fi story, not the one that's like happens to be all white.
Well, and yeah, and of course,
I like to imagine it's not a super cynical calculation on their part. I like to think that, you know, they're just
they want to bury those people, which are really a lot of movies.
I don't know if they're necessarily trying to be more diverse because it's the right thing to do, or it's a marketing move. And let's be
as someone who's Hispanic, it's both.
Yeah,
you know, as a Hispanic person, I don't have a whole lot going for me in sci-fi and comic books and stuff like that.
You got vibe?
Man, everyone vibe. Vibe is the shaft to Hispanic people.
When you vibe say, does kind of suck.
He does. Yeah. That's why I keep bringing
He's
him
just some dude who break dances and has, like, some kind of speed power. But mostly, he just break dances. He was on the Justice League Detroit. And if you don't know what the Justice League Detroit is, that is exactly my point. Why it isn't to have vibe as your representation.
I assume they're about the equivalent of the Great Lake Avengers.
Yeah.
The Great Lake Avengers were intentionally a joke, though.
Yeah.
Justice League Detroit was just
supposed to be taken seriously.
It was just a bunch of also-rans that, yeah, just...
It's like Batman and Robin. They were taking that seriously. And no one can believe it.
Well, like, you have, like, Guy Gardner, who's, like, everyone's fifth favorite Green Lantern.
They literally took all of the major superheroes out of the Justice League and just put Martian Manhunter there and just added a bunch of schmoes. In fact, the book started to do so bad.
When you say mentioned it was in the 70s, you think black exploitation.
It's bad. I mean, like I said, there's a Hispanic dancing guy named Vibe because you had to have one Latino on the team. It's famous for being the JLI, the Justice League International, which it eventually will become, but it has nobody. It is literally third, like, B and C superheroes
on the Justice League. It's like the equivalent of reading the Legion of Superheroes, and it's the subs.
Yeah.
Well, but
it's an actual group within the Legion of Superheroes.
Star Trek actually started out, they've always been fairly diverse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Star Trek was a conscious effort to promote diversity, multiculturalism, a progressive agenda.
Yeah, so Gene Roddenberry definitely had that view of how he wanted the future to be more accepting and more diverse.
Well, I think that's the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars. Star Trek went out of its way to promote that stuff. Star Wars
when
was
it was
just
a very bad marketing move.
Yeah, and Star Wars is just like, here's a fun story. Let's sell some toys.
Gene Roddenberry versus George Lucas. Yeah, when George Lucas got there, it was more about let's just make this movie.
Yeah.
Where Gene Roddenberry was also trying to tell or teach a message or get some more.
Yeah, that's exactly what I tell people. Yeah. When I tell people I like Star Trek better than Star Wars, that's the way I view it. Is that Star Wars is a cool story? It's a great story. I love it.
Yeah,
Star Trek is more than that, though.
It's a world. It's the thing is, it's the difference between a movie and a TV show. A TV show has time to build characters and to give you a full, unique universe. A movie can tell you a story, a small story, that you need just a small scope to understand.
Yeah.
It's only 2 hours.
And more so than that, though, Star Trek is an aspiration. It's about us. It's about mankind's indomitable spirit and about how we'll never be perfect, but we can be better, and we can try to be perfect.
And I don't think you get that in the Abrams/Kelvin verse.
Well, no. I think we've all shat all over the Abrams.
And that's why I think it gets all the hate. I think this is an interesting trend, though.
We're saying that Star Wars is trying to be more multicultural, whereas Star Trek is going the Star Wars
route. Even though I just mentioned that I like Star Trek better than Star Wars overall, you'd be a fool not to admit that Star Wars has been killing it lately compared to Star Trek.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. We're saying that Star Wars is moving towards this more multicultural, you know...
And Star Wars has always been a bigger moneymaker.
And Star Trek, I guess, decided it wanted to make more money, and it started to go the Star Wars route.
Yeah.
Even though I did see the last Star Trek
finally, it was much better than the other two. Written by Simon Pegg, who's actually a Trekkie.
Plus, you actually got to see the cast interact with each other.
Simon Pegg wrote a script for a whole cast, unlike the other two movies.
Which was
because
just...
Star Trek movies are written for the entire cast.
Well, he did make sure to give himself plenty of good jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he did give Simon himself Pegg. A lot of screen time.
Yeah.
I mean...
But in all fairness, Scotty
Always look out for number one, man.
Yeah. Scotty was a big integral character as far as OS goes.
Well, I mean, the big three were Kirk, Spock, and McCoy.
But you would, next one down's got to be Scotty.
I put Sulu, actually.
Really? Yeah. Scotty's in more episodes. And,
well, probably, but.
And what's his name? James Doohan, his name was in the opening credits, unlike most of the cast.
Yeah, and that, I think, may have to do with the business end of things.
Oh, totally. People like Scotty, though.
Because, I mean...
Yeah. Scotty is so popular that people think of him when they think of beaming people up, even though that was not his job.
Nope.
At
Scotty
all.
Actually never worked at that
console. He had nothing to do with it.
Did Kirk actually ever say, "Beat me up, Scotty"?
No. He would always say
that's what I was thinking. It was
It's up there with Luke, I am your father, and Elementary, my dear Watson, in terms of things that are super famous that were never actually said by the characters.
Yeah. Ain't that some...
But what I was saying is, look at when Star Trek was originally aired. If you were listed on the credits, that was a leading role. How many people of minority could they have given leading roles to in the mid-60s?
Not many.
As progressive as Star Trek was, the big three I just mentioned are all white dudes.
The business... Yeah. Well, it was also, you know... I mean, it was a show that went to be progressive, and it, but it was... I mean, obviously, CBS was a business. It was a television company. Yeah, they did have to deal with those kind of decisions. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you know, and even though, you know, Roddenberry wrote, you know, stories centered around Sulu and Uhura, or Uhura, or
Uhura.
Uhura. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But anyway, we digress.
Yeah, and you know, in all fairness, Star Trek is about our future, and Star Wars takes place a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, yes, that's true. But back to Rogue One. I am looking forward to Rogue One next week. It should.
Yeah,
I mean,
it looks good. It looks good.
It looks good. If anything else, it'll be a fun movie to just watch.
Even
the effects.
It's only
and I really don't
minutes,
want a fun
I want
movie. I want
Vader.
A gritty war movie.
Well, they got to use Vader. If they're smart, they will use Vader sparingly.
Yeah.
They'll have him show up. Like, they'll be like struggling against like all the like Imperial forces, and then all of a sudden Vader will show up and just like
be a force of nature.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. I love how the way this movie looks is what I wanted like Attack of the Clones to look like. Like, it looks just all out, just war is
so
hell.
Have you ever tried? What was the last time you've watched Attack of the
Clones? Oh, man, I tried to get through it 2 months ago.
You're a brave man.
It is.
I
couldn't get through it the last time I watched it, and it looked like a cartoon.
I'm going to be totally honest, I didn't get past the text. As soon as the text started, I just felt shame.
I'm less impressed scrolling.
I was just like,
I got about halfway through the movie.
Oh, I can't do this to myself. I really can't do this. And as soon as the text ended, I was like, I'm done.
But Larry does bring up a good point. This movie does have a lot of cool opportunities to kind of flesh out things that we've always kind of like projected onto Star Wars, but they didn't really do a good job of showing in the original movies. Like, we get to see the Empire being, you know, nefarious.
Yeah.
Most of them are just taking it on their word that the Empire's bad.
I mean, they kill a bunch of rebels.
They blow up a planet that, okay, they totally blow up a planet. A planet we've never visited.
A whole million lives.
For all we know, it could have been an asteroid.
Even
is
kind of abstract for us. We've never been to Alderaan.
Yeah,
we don't know any of the people there.
The only person from Alderaan we know is Leia.
We know objectively that blowing up millions of people is an awful thing to do, but...
That is really mean.
There is
a mean dude.
But it's done in such a way that
We don't have that loss of life.
Like, they didn't cut to the scene and we didn't see, you know, hundreds of people going, and dying.
A little gruesome, though.
This could do a lot more to kind of cement why the Empire needs to be fought.
Totally.
And it could also this could be the first opportunity for us to see Vader doing the things he should be capable of, but which they did not have the ability to really show on screen back in the 70s and 80s. Like, in the 70s, like, again, I love these movies, but mostly it's just Vader, like, slowly moving his hand and, like, a slow-ass telekinesis thing. Like,
well, they were also making shit up on the fly with they those were. Movies. So they had no idea what his power set really was. They were just kind of making it up.
But now we know. Yeah, we've seen like
lines of dialogue were like, made, and then special effects filled in.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The baddest I've ever seen Vader being is actually in Kieran Gillen's
Vader Run.
Well, it's specifically the part where they do the crossover with Jason Aaron's main Star Wars book, Vader Down.
Oh yeah.
Where like he's surrounded by like a platoon of rebels and like surrender. You're surrounded. All I'm surrounded by is fear and dead men. And then he just wrecks all of them single-handedly. He's like pulling pulling Y-wings out of the atmosphere. He's like remote detonating people's grenades. He's deflecting laser blasts. He's a force of nature, and this is...
He literally comes to a planet where he's completely surrounded. He comes to a planet that is solely occupied by rebels and kills everyone. He comes by himself.
Yeah.
And literally depletes them.
And part of what makes Vader such a great character is there's not a moment's doubt in him or anyone else that he has every advantage here, even though...
All of the advantage somehow.
Yeah.
Literally just has his lightsaber. No blast.
Him surrounded by, like, a platoon of enemy soldiers, and they're the ones who are at the unfair disadvantage.
It was awesome. Yeah. Reading that also made me think about how lame Anakin was in the movies.
Okay, yeah.
Because the way they paint it in the story is that Anakin was super badass. Was just the ultimate Jedi. And you see Vader, and you're like, peak Sith, so he had to have been extra awesome. Never seen it, but nope, reading that, all I could think was the prequel, Anakin must have been. This Anakin would have been really cool.
The prequel movies
that he is this ultimate badass.
It's a lot of tell not show in the prequel movies.
Yeah,
like he gets into like a handful of fights and he loses most of them, if I remember correctly.
Like for the most part.
Okay, so he lost the first fight against Dooku.
He loses almost all of his fights.
Yeah.
Actually,
For Jindy Tartakovsky's Clone Wars cartoon where he fights, what's his name? Like Vaja
Jadot? Asajj Ventress.
Yeah. That was an awesome fight.
That was an awesome fight.
That was also an awesome fight.
That cartoon series redeems the prequel trilogies in my mind because it was really awesome.
Dude, that 501st episode where nobody talks. It's just all the troopers.
There's not a lot of dialogue in any of those.
That's true.
Most of them were pretty silent.
Oh, man. That made Grievous seem so cool.
He was so much cooler in that cartoon.
Scary. He was so scary. First off, that's one of the most violent cartoons I've ever watched as a child. It's just him murdering Jedi Masters.
He goes into like a little alcove of like five Jedi and takes them all out. Like, he picks them off one by one. He's, like, creeping in the shadows. He's, like, crawling on the walls. It's genuinely unnerving.
He was really scary. And as it turns out, he's just a coughing, whimpering, half-robot thing that
And if you gets hadn't shot seen like the cartoon, chump. You don't even know why he has the cough. Like,
no.
You
it, yeah.
That cartoon also does a great job cementing what a badass Mace Windu was, because he beat Grievous with just the Force. And there's also the other cartoon episode where he solos an entire platoon of enemy soldiers. Man, that's a great cartoon.
It was a really great cartoon. The CG series started off just okay, but gets better at the end.
It gets good at the end.
I read an article one time talking about how it gave some really cool character moments to Anakin that makes his turn to the dark side feel a lot more.
They did a good job of making you feel like Anakin actually saw something wrong with the system and chose to be, you know, away from the Jedi as they were making decisions. Like, they do a really good job of showing you the separatist side of things in that animated series, which was really surprising because it starts off very cheesy. The separatists are just bad guys. Like, pretty much what you expect out of Star Wars. The bad guys are the bad guys. Yeah. But they, like, as time goes on, you start to see both sides of the story and kind of where the Republic's being just a total dick.
Well, and
it was interesting that's the route they chose to go.
You know, as much as everything's black and white in the original trilogy, you know, there's this, the original Galactic Republic, you know, it starts out as one point they were the good guys, mm-hmm. so you really got to cover that gray area to make the flip-flop from one side to, you know, become good or go evil or
right,
you
right.
know, and instead of just saying, well, this happened, now everybody hates you, you know.
Yeah, and the, I mean, in Chess, I haven't seen the CG version of Clone Wars, but just from your description, that already sounds way better than what Revenge of the Sith gave us, where
they,
it's just like
they blow.
It's like, just completely like emotionally driven. Like, I gotta save my wife.
Yeah, also, that's also the if you want to see Darth Maul do anything, to watch the CG.
See,
series.
I don't know how I feel about them rezzing Darth Maul.
It's cool because he has mecha legs.
Okay, of course I don't. They can't ruin his character since
he didn't have exactly. One. But yeah, no, he's got mecha legs.
Isn't that essentially how Grievous became, you know, the person he was? I mean, he wasn't born a robot, you know.
No, no.
His mother wasn't a tin can or anything. No. Yeah.
But yeah, that's that whole thing. He's cyborg. I mean, look at Vader. He got cyborg legs. And it's kind of B.A. Darth Maul with the cyborg legs. Not even going to lie about that one. But no, it's a better series than I thought it was going to be. I just wrapped it. And started Rebels, which is already better than I thought it was going to be.
That's cool to hear.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of better than it ought to be, or than people expect it to be, this is episode 151 of Geeks of the Square Table.
It's about as good as I expect it to be.
Yeah.
Which is not very good.
Well,
hey, you know, that was a damn fine segue.
You know, I was referring to the show up. It was about 33% better than I expected it to be.
I had to think about that for like 5 seconds, and I realized that was somehow being a dick to me.
Yeah, I had to work that.
Yeah, everyone's got to work that one in.
You deserve it.
I know. I'm just the worst.
And I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is
Taylor,
Adam.
You already know who I am because everyone hates me.
Yes, that's right.
Oh my God, Miguel. Jules! Everyone
hates Miguel.
Yes. You know what? We could rename this podcast "Everyone Hates Jules," and every episode would be.
Yeah, we could rename the website "Everyone Hates Jules."
Yeah. Nothing would change. It would make sense to everyone.
Actually, I think we'd
it
get
might
more
make
clicks.
More sense.
More
we'd
views.
Probably get more. We would probably get more clicks.
There would probably be other people that knew other Jules going, well, man,
yeah,
I like this website.
I do hate Jules.
Sony.
I don't even know this Jules, but I hate him too.
Yeah.
Some dude's like, yeah, I hate my ex-girlfriend. She's awful. Stand her. But no, dude. Some dudes are named Jules. It's not all girls. But it is
really?
Mostly girls.
I thought it was mostly guys.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't realize that.
It is I wish.
Speaking as a guy who has, like, the most gender-neutral name of all time, I'm generally shocked that Jules is such a gender-neutral name.
Yeah, it's, surprisingly, the six people I've met named Jules in my lifetime.
Wait, is this, like, Jules short for Julie?
No. Like, J-U-L-E-S. Spell it the same way I do.
Well, I mean, you do have Jules Verne to look up to,
right.
So.
Yeah, the most famous Jules of all time.
That's who I'm named after, go figure.
I do know a couple of Julies.
Who go by Jules?
No.
I know a few. I know, now, if we're going by people who go by Jules, I've met several beyond six. Six are the only people I've actually met named Jules.
This is a nice Jules statistics podcast.
Yeah.
But I mean, really,
Jules, all the time.
We are
the only Jules.
We are your
Jules
go-to source for Jules statistics.
Yeah, because I'm the only Jules you know. I'm the only Jules you know,
but not the only Jules that you know. Apparently,
mm-hmm. Isn't that funny how
that
works?
I think you're the only Jules I could stand to know.
Yeah, you only need the one.
We've reached our Jules.
Limit
thresholds.
Yeah.
Whereas you can get a lot of Adams, you can get a lot of Taylor.
Well, no choice but to know a lot of Adams. It's a fairly common name.
Yeah, as is Taylor. Larry, not so much these days, but I know a few. So you're not the only Larry.
It's still probably
He's
in the top.
Larry
10,
is still
top
a very,
20 name,
very
most common names.
Very common name. Yeah.
I just happen to have a not common name.
I'm like a third generation Larry.
I know. I've met your dad.
Yeah. Who's also named after a Larry.
Go figure.
That, ironically, that he is not technically related to. Or, well, actually related to.
That's amazing. How does that even happen?
Bring it up with my grandmother.
Okay.
she'll catch hell for this.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, everybody that had control of that decision has passed away.
Ah.
You know. But my dad is named after a high school friend of my grandmother's.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice.
Well, hey, I mean, it's a nice gesture, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense. But anyway, so enough of our nomenclature. Let's probably big geek news I saw today. A few hours from now, we're getting the actual Spider-Man trailer.
Oh my gosh,
I can't wait. Two, apparently, I've heard. They're going to show two trailers.
Huh.
I'm not sure how that works, but they did show some footage yesterday that got out of Peter getting a new suit from Tony and testing it out. Apparently, they're doing the armpit webs, doing the hang glide thing.
Gotta have the armpit webs.
Yeah, so reminiscent of the Iron Spider suit from the comics about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually one of my favorite Spidey suits.
It's a good suit.
So, if you've ever seen
the most functionally
speaking
useful.
Of the Iron Spider suit, there is a Iron Spider Mr. Potato Head.
Is there really?
What an oddly specific Mr. Potato
Head. And it looks incredibly bad.
I would imagine so.
You know, Spider-Man and Mr. Potato Head just I don't that, that's
well,
not
I'm not sure how well Mr. Potato can pull
the
off the superhero physique.
Look very
man, they really went out there for
dude,
that Iron Spider.
Doc Ock has tentacles. Spider-Man has appendages.
The appendages look very hentai worthy. They're
goodness.
So you okay? So they you went there?
No, I mean that's so somebody actually. I know somebody likes Mr. Potato Heads, and somebody got them for the, got that.
Wait, hold
for
on.
That exact reason.
Let's time
I
out.
I think much less of this out. Person. I don't know.
Time out. You know somebody who collects Mr. Potato Heads?
Yes.
Like they go out of their way to get more than one Mr. Potato Head.
Yes. You collect comics?
I
collect
cards.
He's got a point.
There are lots of comic books. There are a handful of Mr. Potato Heads.
There's
a lot of Mr. Potato Heads.
Than you'd realize.
How many potato heads are there? The pop bobblehead dudes.
Hey, yeah. I mean
Wait.
Oh,
there's that many Mr. Potato Heads?
Mr. Potato Heads, I do not know. There's plenty.
Mr. Potato Head's been around for decades.
If apparently they are digging so deep into the lore that they are doing the Iron Spider-Man outfit,
I guess that's
presumably they've already done Venom Spidey and regular Spidey.
Well, there's also, it's in a series with Hulk, Captain America.
Clearly,
two dozen different Marvel characters.
Yeah, clearly they've already used the first string.
Tell me that doesn't look horrible.
I would not have known that was supposed to be Spider-Man if you didn't tell me.
Man, that's
Iron
rough.
Spider. Oh, wow.
Those look less like hentai tentacles and more just like straight up sex toys, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't know what's worse, the fact that I just found out there are this many Mr. Potato Heads and that people actually collect Mr. Potato Heads.
Or the
fact that
there's
looks
been like five
a dude hanging
Darth
out with a bunch
Tamers.
Of dicks.
You know
like
what
a dude with a dildo
strapped to
his
head. This is probably a good indication of my
Mr. Potato Head looks like a sex toy.
Yeah,
like that, the whole thing is just one big sex toy.
Okay, yeah, this is a pretty good indication of my nerd sensibilities. The thing that is pissing me off the most about that is Spider-Man's mask does not have an open face. It covers his whole face.
There's a 3-inch line of Marvel Mr. Potato Heads and a full size. There's a full-size Spider-Man potato head that has the full suit.
Okay.
And the potato is the spider covered or whatever, and you put eyes.
That's
stuff.
Better.
Okay.
But that one looks really half-assed, I have to say.
Yeah.
By the time they got to the Iron Spider, they just stopped giving a shit.
They must have. Because, again, they had to have made many, many others before they got around to Iron Spidey.
The fact that they got around, you just blowing my mind with this.
See, this one's got a Wolverine, Iron Man, Black Venom.
Please tell me there's a Stiltman Potato Head. Please tell me Stiltman Potato Head is a thing that exists.
I just can't. I'm. Man. Potato Heads. Do they have Potato Head Con?
They must. People must be buying them if they keep making them. Con?
Well, and this person I know maybe has like several Con different. Yeah. You know,
doesn't Hasbro make?
I'm sorry, it's either that or Mattel. I forget which one, but Hasbro would make more sense though, since don't they make the Marvel toys?
They do make the Marvel toys.
So apparently, they would have a pretty easy access.
It to is all Hasbro them. Play School.
Yeah. Because I've seen an Optimus Prime Mr. Potato Head. Which, now that I think about the fact that they made an Optimus Prime Mr. Potato Head, suggested that they made lots of Mr.
Potato Heads. Oh, God, tell me they have a Grimlock Mr. Potato Head.
That would be good. But, I don't know if I've ever seen another Transformer Mr. Potato Head.
Well, surely they got around. Surely they did Megatron.
There's got to be a Megatron.
Got to be a Megatron, right?
If they did Optimus, they got to do Megatron.
Look up Transformer Mr. Potato Head.
If they only did one, it would be Optimus. But if they made two, the second one would be Megatron.
Do these Mr. Potato Head Transformers transform?
I don't think so. That's why I don't think I committed to buying it.
Based off of the quality of workmanship we've seen so far, you're fooling yourself right now.
There's the Dinobot, they look Mr. Potato way Head. Better than the,
just Dinobot? Not,
Dinobot from Beast Wars?
No, it's like
Rescue
Grimlock.
Bot. Okay.
But it's more like he comes with a Dinobot.
Yeah, it's Grimlock.
Megatron.
Yeah, I don't think they did a Megatron.
They did a Bumblebee.
Oh, there's a Starscream, though.
If they did Starscream and Bumblebee, surely they did. Maybe they're saving Megatron to do a big con exclusive or something.
A big con exclusive. You know what? Mr. Potato Head Megatron.
Apparently these are bigger than we ever dreamed they would be, Adam. Maybe there is a market for the con exclusive Megatron.
Next
Mr.
time
Potato
we go
Head.
To buy con, Jules, we'll look for the
we'll
Megatron.
Get the Megatron.
If,
you know what? That's where I saw it. I saw it at BotCon. That I was like, where did I even see that Mr. Potato Head? I remember thinking, that's kind of cool.
Maybe they'll do a Megatron for the next BotCon. Maybe that Optimus was a BotCon exclusive.
And
probably.
You would have bought that. I know that person would have wanted it.
God, that is unreal.
You could have resold that.
I know. I could have pimped out an Optimus Prime Potato Head.
There would have been a demand.
What a world. There's a demand for that. I had no idea that had its own demand. I had no idea.
Will wonders never cease.
Man. I get toys in general. I get Transformers. But Potato Heads? Really? I mean, it's just such a simple sculpt. It's just really not that fun.
Well, that's maybe a tether.
It originally wasn't
you can
a sculpt.
It no matter what costume they put on.
Originally, you provided the potato.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, they just give you mix
the
and match
eyes and ears and feet and arms and stuff.
Really?
And then people are like, potato
yes,
too gross.
Optimash Prime.
Oh my God!
It came out.
So I hadn't realized that they gave them pun names. I'm not sure why I didn't expect them to have pun names, but
Spud names.
I'm very, very upset now that I know that they have pun names.
The package. They did a Taters of the Lost Ark.
Oh, good. Sounds great.
Let's see
more.
More.
Let's see.
What was the Spider-Man one called?
Spider-Man.
Is it Spider-Spud or something?
The Spider-Man. Let's see. They had Darth Tater.
Oh my God.
Let's see.
That was amazing.
They had Spud Troopers.
God. They're just adding Tater and Spud to everything. Let's
see. There's only so many potato puns you can work through, Adam.
Darth Tater. That's a good one, though.
We even sold Darth Tater here.
This is knowledge I wish I didn't. I think I actually remember saying that in the store, but I wish that this is knowledge I did not have. I don't like knowing about these potato heads with their terrible names.
Now I feel like I have to go buy them. I feel like that has to be my new thing.
What a quick turnaround that was. You were all like, oh god, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And like 5 minutes later, I must have them all.
Do you need a Darth Tater?
I was actually joking for the sake of joking.
No, I'm good.
I
wasn't joking until he heard me mocking him, and then he's like, now I got a safe face. After I leave, he's going to be like, get it for me, Larry. Get me Darth Tater.
I wish I spoke like that, sincerely. Like, I wish, like,
it's
that
was the
way
it's always
more fun
to make people more melodramatic than they actually
the
are.
Best.
It's fun. Jules doesn't actually sound like that.
I wish I did. I mean, you hear what I sound like, and it's not as exciting.
Just to clarify, this is me talking right now. Yeah. This is Taylor.
Yes. Just to clarify, I don't speak like I twirl a mustache.
Well, Darth Tater.
You didn't even know you had that.
No, I knew I had it. That's what I said. I think I have one in the back.
Darth Tater has some nice glasses in there.
Why? Why are there glasses? That doesn't make any sense.
Same reason why there's a mustache.
Is that just to hold the helmet on?
Force eye beams.
The potato should actually
is the
be
implication.
Like
I like the
totally
mid.
Darth Vader has been nearsighted this entire time.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Hayden Christensen totally wore those glasses at some point.
You'd think they'd just give him cyborg eyes along with all the red
and
cyborg.
Also, there are I know there are multiple versions of Darth Tater.
Of course. You gotta have your super special collector's edition.
That is the deluxe Darth Tater in the Darth Tater container.
Oh. So this is like $100.
They have a carded version.
Not to talk too much shop.
And then a paperboard version.
What does one retail the deluxe Darth Tater for?
I believe the Darth Tater retails for the $20 to $30 range.
Oh, okay. Quite a bargain. Adam was willing to shell out 100 clams for that thing.
Man.
No, I wasn't. The Tater heads were.
But see.
Oh, that's probably their name, isn't it?
Oh, they could Tater Heads?
I guess they kind of call themselves the Potato Heads, since that's the name of the actual product.
But it's Tater, because
it's more fun. So yeah, that does work, I think.
I'm going to look it up. I got to know.
Don't go that rabbit hole, man.
Jules has to know what to call himself now.
Jules is diving into the deep end of the Mr. Potato Head fandom.
Yeah, I'm going to scoot this over here next to you.
I'm terrified.
You know you won't be able to resist.
Oh, let's look at that. I dive into these things. It's always like, oh, sex. I don't want to touch this anymore. Because, you know, there's always that part of the fandom.
There's always that part of the
fandom. That part of the fandom is the first thing that comes up anytime.
Where's the fanfic in Potato Head?
You know,
you don't want to know about the whole thing about the butt compartment.
I feel like the sex fiends
do. They do have attachable appendages.
Yeah, so. Oh my God. That's already.
And we already saw the Spider-Man one with all the dildos sticking to it.
Tony Starch.
That's a good one.
That's a good
one. Hey, it's not Tater or Spud, so, you know, they're branching out of this.
Spud Lightyear.
And we're back.
And we're right back in this. Let's
say. What was the Spider-Man one called? I have to know now.
Let's see. Darth Tater, Masher Yoda, Solo.
Oh, my
Luke
God.
Frywalker.
God damn it.
Ooh, Frywalker. That is a good one.
C-3 Potato and R2 Potato.
They gave up on that
what
one.
A world.
This is too much.
They couldn't come up with a good R2-D2 one, obviously. But oh, my God.
Let's see.
But, yeah, sex fiends do ruin a lot of fandoms.
They ruin everything.
Like, things that are more or less, like, things like My Little Pony, which is, like, marketed towards, you know, young children, you know, fairly wholesome, teach them lessons about friendship and crap.
I've never seen a kid watch My Little Pony.
Yeah, you know,
it is always
the most
thin.
Famous fans of My Little Pony are the ones who want to pork the ponies.
Yeah,
is horrific.
It's the scariest thing that I think I could have ever thought of. Like, that's my living
scarier than Darth Tater.
Scarier than Darth Vader is somebody taking something so pure and innocent and corrupting the ever-living shit out of it.
And okay, and now here is also something to be aware of. The My Little Pony fandom, the reason why it's so corrupt is the creator reached out to fans on 4chan.
Oh, the fool.
So to say that it's marketed towards kids is kind of a misconception. It's really not.
Is 4chan still a thing? Is that still
happening? It still exists.
We wish it weren't, but it is.
Wow. I mean, I've seen people read... I've seen adults read the comic book and have to ask me to look up a word for them. And now I say that, they think, oh, well, these are stupid adults. No, like, this was college-level words. The book is not written in a language that an average 5-year-old can understand all of it.
You know, I'm going to interpret that as them trying to enrich a kid's vocabulary learning.
Fair enough.
No, they want you to park those ponies.
I think it's what he said.
Okay, I work at a school, and one of my students is a big fan of My Little Pony, and she is the actual intended demographic.
And that being said, I think she said dark side of My Little Ponies. I do know there is at least one 7-year-old girl that buys My Little Pony.
My great fear is that this innocent child at school is going to someday discover the dark side of My Little Pony's fandom.
It's the internet. She already knows it.
Yeah. I very much doubt it. But
you know, that's what scares me about things like that. Is like knowing that that 7-year-old girl is going to Google My Little Pony someday. And find just hell.
Yeah.
Just hell.
That's why you keep the filters on.
Yeah, I know. That's why you keep the filters on.
Yep.
It's not bad parenting if you put the filters on.
Apparently all the Marvel characters have... It's Mr. Potato Head as...
Ow. Wait, what happened to... what was about Tony Starch?
Well, or at least all the
whole...
Well, Tony Starch, there was one called Tony Starch. It was a full-size one. But the Iron Spider is a small... They have a small series of mash-up characters we mix and match.
Mash.
Oh, my God. I've heard enough potato puns in the last 15 minutes.
They're just brilliant at Hasbro. Why isn't he in the Hasbroverse? Where's my mashup in Revolution?
Yeah, where's my Mr. Potato Head Revolution?
So you want to see G.I. Joe and Mr. Potato Head Transformers team up?
I just want to see one of them step on him, and then that's the end of it. And that's it. Because that's the only thing that would happen. He'd say something, no one would hear it, someone would step on him.
Maybe Cobra Commander is throwing some toxic sludge.
Exactly, somebody just rearranges his face. And that's the only joke. And they just go about the book.
Look how disturbing that Masher Yoda is.
What? Really weird looking.
Oh my God. It looks like a fucking Chicken McNugget cosplaying as Yoda.
It does look like a chicken.
McDonald's used to have those toys. They used to have those stupid things where they had the Chicken McNuggets and they you'd put them inside of like a costume or something.
They had
Halloween branded like Chicken McNuggets.
Speaking of scary McDonald's things, y'all ever heard of a band called Mac Sabbath?
No way.
You don't age.
Are they dressed like Ronald or?
Yes.
You don't. Okay.
They are.
That's also a good pun too.
No way.
That's pretty clever.
That's a really good pun.
There's like a death metal group that popped up recently where they all dress up like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons.
Yeah, I did see that.
I've seen that. But Potato Head Collectors aside, there's no.
Here's Mac Sabbath. Sold our souls
for cinnamon rolls.
No way.
Does McDonald's even have cinnamon rolls?
This is a band photo.
No way.
Yes.
No. There's no way.
It's a thing.
This is a real thing.
Mayor McCheese has like freaking tusks.
Mayor McCheese.
I always
and like Grimace just has hair. They put. Disturbing hair on
that Grimace. And Grimace is clearly on acid.
Well, fair enough.
Oh, yeah. That's clearly.
So that's what happened.
What's
happening
about the hamburger? I can't see that well.
They've been missing for a while.
He's dressed up like Peter Criss. Face painted like Peter Criss.
Hamburglar?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be Peter Criss, though.
The Hamburglar does.
Not even Peter Criss. Poor Peter Chris.
Okay. Well,
Naomi Cheese.
I think we've delved enough into the dark recesses of the internet for one day. Let's turn this back around. Let's talk about anything else.
Anything else?
Well, in the comics world, I think Invincible Iron Man has launched. The new Ironheart character is now ahead of Tony Stark dying in Civil War, too.
Yeah.
Has made her appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. With him as her AI.
Yeah. I can't get behind her name, though. Ironheart's fine. Her actual name, Riri, is the stupidest damn name I've ever
heard. Yeah, that's my big problem with the character, is Riri.
Sounds like a freaking 5-year-old. You don't get to call yourself Riri after you're older than 10.
A 5-year-old would say.
Sounds like an insult a 5-year-old would say.
What is it, Jules?
Right.
I have a friend named Riri, and Riri is, 28. And I have not stopped calling her Riri, my entire life.
Oh, yeah, but you're juvenile, so...
That is a good point, and that's why I am the demographic who is supposed to be reading that book.
Go for it, man.
Not you.
I mean, I hope it does well, but I'm just... Could they just call her, Renee or something? I don't know.
No. I mean, we call him Tony.
I do hope the book does well, though. I hope all of these new characters that they roll out at least do,
Riri seems like a cool character.
I mean, the champions.
They're all cool characters.
Yeah, they're all cool characters. All cool new characters. So that book's great, and I hope that book
continues. If I have a slow week, I might pick up the back issues of that, or I might have to wait for it in trade at this point.
I have so far...
There's only 3 issues so far.
Yeah.
Liked all of the new characters they've rolled out. I feel like, at first, a lot of them seemed like cash-grab diversity characters, but I have since been proven wrong with so many of them.
Even if they are cash grab characters, good writing is good writing.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Nova. Nova number 1 came out this week. The last volume of Nova, starring the same character, was probably the blandest comic book I have ever read in my entire life. It's like, hey, do you want to see the most generic comic book ever?
You want to just buy a comic book and feel justified in purchasing it, but that's about it. Here we go.
But this new issue number 1, it's got a new writer, got a new art team, it's got some personality, and it's sort of redeeming for the new Nova. Mm-hmm. And I'm more excited for its character now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so...
It's actually a good book.
As long as Marvel puts weight behind these characters and actually tries.
We've talked in the past about how gimmicks can easily be overcome when the quality is there.
Yeah.
Female Thor.
She works on
a level, you could view that as just hey, let's get that out there. Let's be diverse. Let's, get new share. Let's, grab some headlines, which it did.
Yeah.
But it's also a damn good book.
It's a damn good book.
Jason Aaron's entire run on Thor has been marvelous. Dauterman, I hope I'm saying his name right.
Russell Dauterman.
Yeah. He is a phenomenal artist. He's okay to replace Asad Rabik, which is saying a lot.
It's a tall order to replace Asad Rabik.
It's a tall order, but he's been living up to it.
It's been an awesome book. And you know what? That's a great example.
It's great in a different way than Asad Rabik's.
That book does a really good job of taking on this new concept, but having it built into the story prior and just having it make so much sense. And that's the cool thing about what Marvel has done, as opposed to what many have tried to do before, in that doing the diversity thing is cool if you do it right.
Yeah.
But if you just force it, man, it's hard.
Probably the best new character the last decade, Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I've been picking up that book consistently since it came out because it's so damn good.
Mm-hmm.
We talked in the past about how... at least Adam and I kind of were down on Nick Spencer's Captain America just because it was so heavy-handed with its messaging.
It was very intense. It
really beat you over the head with it. Ms. Marvel is touching a lot on similar issues. They talked about gentrification. Mm-hmm. They just had an election issue, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very well executed. It feels genuine and organic and not... such a ham-fisted way of working these messages in there. The execution has been great, and it feels really cool reading the, she is a Muslim teenage girl who's someone that I can't directly relate to because of that. And but it's written in such a way that any type of person who might feel awkward, who might feel kind of unsure of themselves at time, anyone can relate to that. It's pushing all these things about, like, the character is definitely unique, and her identity does inform the way she behaves and the way the stories play out, but it's also written in such a way that there's a universality to it. People can
approach. Absolutely.
Love Ms. Marvel.
It's a great book. It really is. That last issue was spectacular.
Yep.
It's one of those books, too, that just finds a good message and holds on to it.
Yeah.
It also has the advantage that G. Willow Wilson created the character.
Yep.
So it's hard to come into a character and to change them and mold them to
Mark
the way you
Waid's
want to.
Mark Waid's been doing all right. Brian Michael Bendis had the character for a cameo in his Spider-Man book, and I thought he did a terrible job with it.
With
Kamala.
Kamala.
That's weird, too, in the respect that Kamala hasn't been touched by a lot of people.
That is a fear of mine, that eventually G. Willow Wilson is going to move on to another book.
Absolutely.
Someone else is going to have to step into the character, and it'll be interesting to see if they can keep up the quality.
It'll be a tall order, but it's one of those things, you just got to give it time.
Yeah.
Like,
sometimes it is hard to go from, like, a writer who is perfectly paired with the character and then try to see someone else take over. Like, Kieran Gillen with Loki.
Great example.
Man, he was marvelous at writing Loki. He did it in Journey into Mystery, transitioned that into Young Avengers. Al Ewing, I think, was the one who took over, and he did an okay job, but just I kept thinking all the time, man, I miss Kieran Gillen being on this character.
It's just one of those things where, like, for instance, I love Miles Morales. He's probably my favorite Spider-Man character in the last 20 years of Spider-Man. Brian Michael Bendis has only been the only person to write Miles Morales in just about anything.
Well, not necessarily true.
Not necessarily.
Mark Waid's writing him. In a solo book, yeah.
Mark Waid is Mark Waid's interesting because he is writing with Miles and Kamala.
And you know what?
Champions and Avengers before that.
And Mark Waid is treading water with writing Miles and Kamala as a good example, as two characters that are basically their entire existence have been held by one writer.
Yeah.
And you could tell in the Champions book, all the other characters are used more than Kamala and Miles because they have such unique voices to the people who write them. Bendis totally created Miles.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense. And Wilson totally created Kamala. That makes the most sense. Writing characters like that that are still so brand new is obviously challenging because so many of these new characters that have been rolled out outside of their books, it's almost like a blander, harder to understand version that you instead of what you find in the solo book.
And the other thing, it's if you read in a book where the original author of a series has died and somebody else picks it up, you can always kind of tell it's a different,
like
it's
a
different
a
voice.
Wheel of Time or Dune.
And apparently now Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Did they finally release the
I don't know if they released it yet, but
or
it's
like
still happening.
Like, in the midst, yeah.
And, of course, in comics, you know, you have that happen all the time. Because even though, you know, Bendis created that character, it's not his character.
No, it's owned by Marvel.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
So you'll have those, until that character becomes such a blending of voices. You know, and even then, you know,
I mean,
you look at a Green Lantern and Geoff Johns, sometimes a person comes along and embraces that character so well that they redefine.
This is true. I mean,
that's a really good
point. That is a great point because, I mean, Green Lantern is still essentially the same character as he was as Geoff Johns redefined him as.
I mean,
he hasn't really moved on since then.
No, and in all fairness, I read Green Lantern for years before Geoff Johns wrote it, and I'd always, even having read all of Hal's stuff later in life, found him to just be okay, and found him to actually be the least interesting Lantern. But Geoff Johns made him a totally different person, but still utilizing the pieces.
I'm still going to list Kyle Rayner as my favorite Lantern.
Oh, totally my favorite Lantern, by far.
Yeah, Hal was always... a lot of these old Silver Age characters like Barry Allen and Hal Jordan, they're pretty bland.
They're really
bland. Or at least for most of their publication history.
Mostly just Boy Scouts running around, you know, telling everybody what to do.
But it's also part from the time that they were they were published.
But it's an interesting thing. Like, these really big characters do, they become bigger than a writer could be. Because, like, you can't have Batman, like, running around being like, oh, waka waka now. Because that's not Batman. No one can change that at this point. But you do still see, like, you were talking about, like, occasionally someone does have that little miracle run, which does kind of set the precedent. Maybe, I don't think there's things that, like, you cannot change. Like, you can't make Batman all, like, campy and happy-go-lucky at this point. But you could still see writers come along and make an indelible stamp on the character. Frank Miller's probably a good example of someone doing that with Batman back in the 80s.
Or with Daredevil, even. Daredevil was half as gritty before Frank Miller wrote it.
Frank Miller has done a lot for the industry, but he's also a batshit crazy old man at this
point. Yeah, he is. Also kind of a terrible person.
Yeah.
Well, look at characters like Swamp Thing. Before Alan Moore, nobody really cared about Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing wasn't very interesting at all. He's kind of just some horror character that existed in the background.
Yep.
But Alan Moore came around and actually made him an interesting character. It's a little weird to think about that. Like, characters like that that exist prior to a writer touching them and then just making it and redefining what you think of as the character.
It's sometimes crazy to think about. Frickin' Sabretooth was an Iron Fist villain when he first debuted. But now he's so, like, intricately intertwined in Wolverine's mythos.
Speaking of writers coming along and changing the quota, Chris Claremont.
Yeah.
Completely redefined the X-Men.
He did.
Completely changed the shape of that whole book. Took a Hulk villain, a bunch of characters he was supposed to use in Legion of Superheroes, and made a totally different, far more compelling story to tell than what Stan Lee had been producing before.
Well, the Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's original stuff about, like, you know, like, them being is kind of an archetype for oppressed minorities.
Oh, yeah.
That was there.
That was there. It was good.
Chris Claremont did leagues more to expand their universe, bringing in, like, the Shi'ar and Brood. And
well, just making it more about every mutant they found not be a villain. And made it more a story about them building the school.
Him working to make Magneto, you know, a redeemed character, in a sense.
Yeah.
Took him from being just, like, your straight-up garden variety jackass villain to being probably the single most sympathetic villain in all of comics.
And in all fairness, before him, the X-Men were the only class you ever saw. The school only had 5 students for whatever reason, even though they lived in this giant mansion. And Claremont was like, no. Those are just the people you see. There's a whole school now.
Yeah.
And now all of these people are the staff.
Yeah. But, like, we could also mention things like Walt Simonson on Thor.
Yeah.
And I think probably at this point, we can, even though it's not done yet, probably say Jason Aaron on Thor.
Absolutely.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a history-making run. It's been a few years now, so I feel like we can pretty safely say that at this point.
Yeah. No, we could definitely say that at this point. I mean, you could say that about Hickman and the Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to that book was just...
I like how stealthily, like, all of Hickman's run on Marvel in general ended up being a big Fantastic Four story.
Yeah, because his Avengers book is basically, as it turns out, a Fantastic Four story.
Yeah, basically. We were stealthily looking at Reed and Doom the whole time.
Well, he really liked the idea. And, you know, thinking about it, at it now, Reed is a huge part of the Illuminati book.
Yeah, I mean, he's the smartest guy in the world, so that makes sense. But
he was really like, you know, I liked Reed being in the Illuminati. I kind of want to write that. Oh, you know what? I guess I'll write an Avengers book while I write that book.
Yeah.
Which was pretty much all he did in that entire run. Because everything the Avengers book did was just set up plot for his new Avengers book.
The main forward action of all the drama for leading into, like, Infinity and things like that, that was... the new Avengers.
Yeah.
It was the Illuminati.
Yeah. All of that other book was just his story work, legwork. He's like, here's all the stuff I have to explain, so that way all of this stuff makes more sense.
Not to say it wasn't also good.
Oh, no.
It was great.
That's probably my favorite Avengers run of all time, honestly.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now.
It's up there. It's certainly up there. You could criticize that the whole part where they were building into Secret Wars, like, where they had, like, the whole, like, different factions of Avengers and everything... That went on too long. They could have trimmed some of the fat off of
it. Oh, the 8 months later
thing. Yeah, eight months later.
Like the countdown to Secret Wars or whatever you want to call it. They could have trimmed the fat off of that. But overall, run was excellent.
Saying all that, though, I just reread the entire run. It's good.
It's really good if you read it all together.
Yeah, if you reread it all in one straight run.
Have you read Fantastic Four all the way through Secret Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did that. So okay. I just recently reread. I have all the omnibuses for the Fantastic Four run. And I just decided to reread all of it. Starting from the beginning of his run all the way to the end of Secret Wars.
Man.
And it's one giant, brilliant piece of comic book. I mean, it's probably one of the best stories I've ever read.
Yeah.
It's kind of unreal that he really told that whole story in one.
Is it too soon? Well, we're like talking about history making here. Is it too soon to put Hickman on the short list of best writers ever?
No, he is definitely up there. I mean, if you take his entire body of work before Fantastic Four, and you take everything afterwards, he has an entire body of work that is bigger than most writers.
True.
I mean, you go from the nightly news to now, he's written so much stuff. And even though it's not finished, East of West has been brilliant.
East of West is fantastic.
I mean, it takes forever to come out, but it's one of the best stories in comic books.
Is Manhattan Project still going on?
No.
It
took a break.
Yeah, doesn't come out as a ongoing anymore. It comes out in a bunch of shorts.
Yeah. It's like a quarterly book now.
Volume. I've been picking up the volumes of that last one I read was where they had just killed JFK. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Where they had just killed JFK. That was like a year ago.
Yeah. But that book's great. I mean, everything he's written.
Yeah.
Even his last book, what was it, The Black Monday Murders? That's been great.
Yeah, that book's been really good.
That book is probably the only book I am okay paying $4.99 for.
Absolutely. I don't bat an eyelash at that book.
How about what was the time travel one? Red Wings or whatever.
Oh yeah, that book was awesome. Yeah.
You know what? He never finished freaking Shield.
He never finished Shield, and he has it.
He has the script already written. He's just been waiting for Marvel to okay it.
He's never finished Shield.
Marvel, just get it over
and
with.
And he still needs to get the fourth issue out for the Dying and the
The Dying and the Dead.
You know, I guess he gets a pass because he's writing so much damn stuff, but.
Nah,
can he please write my Legion book, though?
Shield?
I really don't want him to do anything for DC, because fudge him, but I do want him to write the Legion book.
I swear it's been like 3 years since the last issue of Shield came out, at least. It's probably more than that.
It's been more than that, because it was before his Avengers run.
God, okay, so like
and that was in 2012, is when his Avengers run started.
Wow.
And I know like 2 years ago, Fraction tweeted a picture that he had the script and he had just finished reading it, and he was like, I can't wait for all of you to see this in real.
They're never going to publish.
They're never going to publish. I think it's just a joke. It's just a long joke.
Fuck you, Fraction. But, yeah, Hickman on Legion, though, that would be amazing.
It would be probably the best book ever.
He could pretty much do whatever he wants because it's not, like,
it's the Legion of Superheroes.
And it's a rebirth. So he would really get to do whatever he wanted because they'd be completely rebooted. And it's his favorite thing, a bunch of throwaway characters. So many people would die in that book. No one would be safe. Because the Legion is famous for letting people die off permanently.
Yeah.
He would literally, it would just be his playground. If only.
I'd read him writing Justice League too, though.
I would read anybody writing Justice League right now. Hitch is just not even.
Hitch is terrible.
It's so bad now.
If you really like Jonathan Hickman, then Brian Hitch's run on Justice League is like
the polar opposite.
Super shittiest version of Jonathan Hickman there is. He's trying to pull off this Jonathan Hickman huge branching cosmic storyline.
Oh, it's so bad.
And it's terrible.
Is this the same storyline that's ripping Mass Effect?
No, that was only for the first issue.
Yeah,
okay.
But, no, now he's just ripping off Hickman's Avengers run.
Yeah, that's basically what he's doing now. It's embarrassing, almost, actually. It's just bad. It's bad form. Like, come on, DC. There's no way you don't see this. There's just no way. There's no way you look at Hitch's script and say,
as much as we
that doesn't feel like it's ripping anything off.
As much as we're pretty high on DC nowadays, I feel like, they still do have a lot of editorial shenanigans that...
Oh, I have dropped so many books. The books that I'm still reading are still really good.
I'm starting to waver on Wonder Woman because nothing is going anywhere in those books. And I'm
Wonder Woman is taking a while.
It's taking a long while.
I mean, I trust Greg Rucka, but come on, dude. Something's got to
really taking a while.
This whole... I think it was a mistake now to do the whole, like, every other issue is the different story thing because it's taking forever for anything to happen.
I wouldn't if it wasn't... It's being longer than every 2 weeks.
Also, I'm pretty damn confused at this point. What the hell is going on with Wonder Woman's continuity? So, like, every time she's visited Themyscira in... continuity didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Yeah, so now the whole Brian Azzarello run.
Brian Azzarello run was awesome.
I know.
No, doesn't matter anymore. That's them cleaning up house. That's DC saying you got to change things.
I loved Azzarello's run.
I loved Azzarello's run too, man. Now you know what? It's that same when that happened. It was that same feeling when Flashpoint happened. It was like, oh, so everything I cared about just recently doesn't matter.
Well, now they are backtracking the hell out of that. Well, with old 52 Superman being in the new 52 now.
This is true. I mean...
Wally West is back now.
That whole... Do you read Superman?
Yeah.
Did you read the annual?
I did not read
the annual. I did like the annual. The annual was surprisingly good.
Yeah, the annual... annual Swamp Thing telling him he doesn't belong. But that... He needs to accept that he now belongs. It was a pretty cool issue, actually.
Make up your damn mind, Swamp Thing. Which one is it?
Swamp Thing's like, you don't belong here. But, like, because there was two Supermans and now there's only one, our current Superman absorbs more light than the old Superman did.
Which one are you... When you say the old Superman, which one are you talking about?
Pre-52 Superman absorbs more sunlight now that new 52 Superman is dead.
So he's more jacked?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's more jacked. But he's absorbing so much sunlight that it's killing the plants around him.
There's the problem with reading comics for you.
There you go.
When you say old Superman, which one?
Old Superman are you talking about?
Pre-new 52 Superman.
Okay.
Because the new Superman is the old Superman, and the old Superman is the new Superman.
Ain't that some bitch?
Yeah. So old 52 Superman, new 52 Superman. Let's make that.
Well, they killed Golden Age Superman, so I could say old Superman and you know.
But they killed Golden Age Superman before Flashpoint, so he could still be.
Yeah,
around.
That was an infinite crisis. Man. Who knows what the hell's going on now?
But didn't he die in like that little Nexus thing that's like outside of time? Isn't he his dead body's outside of time?
In Infinite Crisis, he died on.
No, he dies on an Earth. He does die on an Earth. He dies fighting Superboy Prime.
Yeah.
Man, that book sucked.
I liked it.
Infinite Crisis?
Yeah, I liked it.
That book starts strong and ends the worst way.
That's how most events are, though.
Revolution was good.
Even then, I still think it ended sort of weak.
Really? I liked the whole Star Trek ending. I love that everyone got together to come up with
that. Here's another opportunity to gush on Hickman. His events were all great. Infinity and especially Secret Wars.
Secret Wars was fantastic.
Secret Wars was the best event I've ever read.
The reason why, though, Secret Wars was fantastic was because Secret Wars actually has an ending, whereas most of these events, Infinite Crisis, you know, it didn't actually have an ending. Its ending was the next event.
Oh, yeah.
That's down the line.
That was the way it was done for the long, it seems, for a long while.
Oh, yeah.
One event just led to another event.
The most egregious example of no closure is probably Fear Itself to me. Because,
the whole event was quote-unquote worthless.
I hated that event in general. It's one of my, I think it's it's my least favorite of all the ones I can think of.
Fraction.
But,
oh, man, it's so bad.
The big moments in it were Thor dying, Bucky dying, and Iron Man, or Paris being turned to stone.
Yep.
All three of those things were immediately undone as soon as the event was over. Like, in the, aftermath books of the Fear Itself.
Yeah.
Like, Thor's back.
Yep.
Oh, Bucky's okay.
Back. Yep.
Oh, Paris has been healed by Odin.
That book blew a lot. That book... That was a really, that was a lot of events there for a while too. It was like every season had an event. From like Civil War on, they just could not let it go.
Well, that was Bendis.
Yeah, that was Bendis.
That was Bendis.
Bendis! But man, they really churned them out there for a while. It's like we had...
For Bendis, every other storyline was a was an event.
Yeah.
And Bendis Dark is... Rain. I have such a love-hate relationship with Bendis.
I know, it's great.
He's written several stories that I think are fantastic.
It actually was great, except
like,
it just...
After I've been away from Bendis for a while, I can come back and be like, hey, yeah, this is a good stuff.
It's like, but then, it's like you it's read like, one book from Bendis, and you're like, oh, man, this is super awesome. And then you read another book from Bendis, and you're like, man, this is terrible.
Like, okay, Invincible Iron Man. I love that first arc.
That first arc was first great.
First arc was so good.
Every other arc was terrible.
I got to the end of that second arc where he was in Japan, and the characters in the book themselves are pointing out what a complete fucking waste of time all of this was.
That's so true. Yeah, I totally agree. That opening arc was incredible. And, you know, I liked the International Iron Man story. It was just not the time to tell it.
Yeah, I mean, the first arc, not the time the first arc itself is great just because of awesome facial hair bros.
Yeah. Awesome facial hair bros, yes.
That won everything.
Especially like when like Dr. Strange is like, of course I helped. We're awesome facial hair bros. And like, Tony's like, everything is worth it just for that.
Oh my god. That's so right. I totally forgot about them bringing that joke back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bendis, he's just...
Or, like, it's stuff like, okay, like, in New Avengers, like, when he was writing that, I swear to God there was, like, a string of, like, every other story for, like, over a year where the Hood was the fucking villain every goddamn time.
I still hate the Hood. To this day, because of that. Gomer loves the Hood, but I still cannot stand...
What's there to like about him? He has no personality.
I cannot stand that character to this day.
And Gomer will stand by anything Brian K. Vaughan created.
I've never read the Brian K. Vaughan written one, but the Bendis
one... It was a Max
one,
book. That's
he was just this, like... He's just this greedy little shitmonger who just doesn't...
He was a really shitty Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how in the Infamous Iron Man book, Doctor Doom just, like, snaps his fingers and sends him to India.
Love that.
Yeah,
that Infamous Iron Man book's actually really awesome.
I'm liking it so far.
I'm not gonna lie. I love Doctor Doom. He's one of my favorite characters.
I am. This is one.
And
to
him
me,
being
this
redeemed
is kinda,
like this yeah. is a good.
This book is kind of like the Titans book to me, in that I'm really only reading it because a character I am heavily interested in is the lead. I'm only reading Titans because of Wally West. I'm only reading this because I need to meet some Doctor Doom.
Love me some... You know what? For as bad as the whole... I mean, not bad. How okay Bendis' run has been, I've liked the way he writes Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
I've liked him being the suave schmo.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Doctor Doom getting to be the suave schmo as opposed to just being, you know, Doom in the suit.
Yeah.
It's got a very... Darth Vader feel to it as well, in terms of Dr. Doom and Darth Vader, it's easy to draw parallels.
Well, Darth Vader was in many ways inspired by Dr. Doom.
Clearly.
His design was informed by the Dr. Doom design.
And the way the characters are written, too.
Yeah.
Suave sense of honor, yet totally being this vicious villain.
They are both just hyper-competent, unflappable, indomitable murder machines.
But you know what? They say it in such a way that you don't feel that bad at the end of the day to get killed by them.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Death Battle episode where they did Doom versus Vader?
No, but I feel like I need to now.
It's pretty good. Well, Death Battle is a good show.
I know what Death Battle is, but yeah.
That was a pretty good episode. They did Doctor Doom versus Darth Vader.
Can I ask who won?
Would you like me to spoil it for you?
Yeah, you know, I think I need to know.
Doctor Doom.
I'm not always shocked because magic.
They rightly point out. Well, most of it did come down to him being a sorcerer, but
yeah, him being a sorcerer makes.
Honestly, Doctor Doom is one of the. On paper, he's insanely jacked.
He's
better.
Doctor Doom has beaten Celestials.
Yeah, yes. Doctor Doom
an abstract
is,
being.
Doctor Doom is a combination of better Iron Man and not quite as good Doctor Strange. That's a pretty damning combination.
Yeah.
Doctor Doom was a god at one point and felt it beneath him.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hickman writing Doom.
God, that's the best part.
Yeah.
That is the best part. I mean, let's think about it. In the end, he forsaked being a god to fight Reed Richards because, you know what? I'd rather just go toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if he really wanted, he could have just...
That's the whole thing. That's the entire thing about their dynamic in the first place, right? Yeah. Is that on paper, Dr. Doom would mop the floor with Reed. With power
stretchy
set-wise.
Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With stretchy guy.
Weaker plastic man versus Iron Man Doctor Strange.
Not insane plastic man.
Well, yeah. He's elongated man. He doesn't even get to be in the same breath as plastic man in terms of stretchiness. But Reed's maybe a little bit smarter, but that should theoretically be close enough that it's not that big of an advantage. But Reed wins because of Doom's inability to accept help, because of Doom's inability to see his own flaws. Reed is willing to work with his family. He is willing to put himself aside, put his own ego aside to accept help when he needs it. And that's why Reed wins. And ultimately, that's how he beat him in Secret Wars was... Doom's real defeat was when he admitted that Reed would have done a better job.
Such a good page.
God, I love that final confrontation. It's the best.
You know what? I loved how we bitched and griped that the event got an extra book. But we can all sit here and smile and say that extra book was worth it.
I feel like, not to toot our own horn, but we were saying at the time that as annoying as all the
complications, we all agreed.
We all agreed the book was amazeballs the whole time.
Because also, man, nothing beats that whole... And you know the extra issue was issue 8, the thing being the wall and coming for Doom.
Yeah.
That was... That's one of those examples of just amazing story and writing, especially if you've read everything. Having read Hickman's run and knowing the hell that the thing had been through, and to have Hickman get to write that
Fantastic
moment.
Four story. That's all that.
That's all it was. But man, that moment is so good when it happens.
Ben Grimm allowing himself to die because it's not Franklin.
Stick. Yep.
Yeah, but I know it's not going to stick. But if that really had been the last confrontation between Dr. Doom and Reed Richards, that's a great way to go on.
Yeah,
it is a worthy conclusion to their story.
I feel like, you know what, Marvel felt okay with canceling the book afterwards because they're like, no one's stopping that. No one.
They're going to come back to it eventually.
I'm sure, but let's agree, nobody for a while is going to top that.
Probably not. But they're probably going to get the rights to make Fantastic Four movies eventually.
And then they'll bring it back. But for now, I think we all feel sated as Fantastic Four fans. That was a good way to go out.
Yeah. Oh, but a bit of a tangent there. Man, Fox really has no fucking idea what they're doing with their movie franchise.
No, they barely made
Deadpool, which is the best one they've made in so long.
And I hear they're already talking about completely revamping the X-Men.
Yep.
Yeah.
Going total reboot.
Well,
apparently now that they realize that people love Deadpool, they're doing all the corporate meddling to the point where like a director's been fired and Ryan Reynolds is having to headbutt back at them again. Like, he had to fight tooth and nail to get the first one made, and now he's having to fight tooth and nail to keep them from fucking it
up. What is their problem?
I don't know. They
It's like they don't want to make money because
they don't know what they're doing.
And they just rebooted. Let's think about that. Apocalypse was a rebooted movie. Was a movie with rebooted characters, and they're already scrapping all these new people.
Apocalypse
just
is one of the most meh movies I've seen in a very
Apocalypse
long time.
Wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but okay.
It was really
meh. Right, a bit of a plug for myself. I'm writing a list right now, best superhero movies of 2016. I almost forgot to include Apocalypse. I forgot it existed.
I watched it the other week.
It came out this year.
And
I thought it was last year.
It wasn't a terrible movie.
It's not a bad movie.
It's so forgettable.
It is very forgettable.
It's meh.
Well, it's a movie that shows a lot of Fox's problems, where you have the gratuitous Wolverine cameo for no other reason than to have Wolverine in it.
And let's just be real, man. As a true X-Men fan, as someone who's read the book my entire life, I don't want good guy Mystique. I'm sorry. You have so many.
She is one of the most
of all of
X-Men
the characters.
Yeah.
You could have gotten her to play. Why was it Mystique? You could have got her to play Emma Frost. You could have got her to play any other female X-Men / villain character who has better plot and somebody we've all waited to see. You give her Mystique just shove it because J-Law. Just shove it down my throat. Seriously.
I will say it is very what weird at the end of the movie to see Mystique leading the X-Men.
Yeah.
But
it's peculiar.
It is very peculiar.
It's rough.
Also,
man.
Is Magneto part of the X-Men now?
No, he walked off in the end. They're cool until they're not.
But you know, if they do make another movie, he's going to have the same character arc again that he's had for all three of these reboot movies.
I'm over it. I'm just over it. Fox doesn't know what they're doing. They really don't.
I mean, the man ones are the better alternative to the actual shit ones, like Fantastic Four was.
Yeah.
I love Fantastic Four. It's such a shitty movie.
But no, man.
There's no fun in it whatsoever.
It's there's no redeeming value to Fantastic. It's not even bad enough to get worked up about. Okay, it's not the type of bad you can get worked up about.
No, it's not Batman and Robin.
It's not like enjoyably bad, yeah, like Batman and Robin or what have you. It's not even enjoyably bad like the older Fantastic Four movies, which, you know, can be, you know, entertaining watches at least.
It's bad. And, you know, I just tried to rewatch it the other night.
It's bad.
I couldn't get through it. I couldn't even get to them becoming the Fantastic Four.
Man, dude, you have no stamina for these two.
No, we have that no movie, stamina.
I've seen it already once before, and it's amazing I got through it. But just, I can't. Time is too precious to waste on that movie again. At first, I'm like, you know what, maybe I was a little too harsh because I was in a theater and the overdubbing is too obvious. Too obvious if you're paying attention. So I was like, I'll watch it at home now.
It's
so bad. It's awful. It's some of the worst writing. Definitely some of the worst music.
It would have
just played that. Over it.
It did come out at the end of last year. It probably would have been the worst one this year, even over Batman v Superman.
I've literally farted better stories than that movie. So bad. I'm sorry. It was the worst movie. So it's up there with the Ghost Rider movies as far as worst comic book movies
at
I've ever seen.
At least Ghost Rider movies
But at least in Ghost Rider, Nick Cage pees fire at one point.
Yeah.
Nothing anywhere near that exciting happens in any of the Fantastic Four movies.
No. That movie's awful.
Nick Cage is in your movie, he's in some movies where he's great. Raising Arizona is a good movie.
Okay, I was just going to say, you're going to name Raising Arizona?
I thought that Family Man was pretty solid. But in his bad movies, though, there's always the redeeming quality of just watching Nick Cage be Nick Cage. It's like watching...
Nick Cage is a very interesting actor.
It's like watching a gorilla, like... try to, like...
Can anyone tell me why Johnny Blaze did Elvis impressions for, like, two movies?
Because Nick Cage decided he needed to do it.
Like, he was in a circus.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the director...
Even Knievel didn't talk like that. Is like, what is the accent in that movie?
I imagine on the set, the director's like, Nick, what the fuck are you doing? I'm doing me, man. Back off. You're lucky I'm in this thing.
Dude, I am Johnny Blaze.
Want me to do something else, add a zero to my paycheck. Else I'm doing my own thing.
Like, at one point, he's just hanging out in a cowboy hat, and I remembered, what movie am I watching? I totally forgot what movie I was watching.
I am so disappointed that they haven't made any more National Treasure movies since
you know,
one.
I was literally...
Because I want to watch Nick Cage have that moment where the camera zooms in on his stoic face and he comes to terms with the heinous act he has to perform for the greater good of America. Because in the first one, it was like, you know, I've got to steal the Declaration of Independence. And then the second one, I've got to kidnap the President of the United States. The third one, you know, is going to be like, I've got to blow up the Statue of Liberty. And then, like, the fourth one is going to be like, I've got to desecrate the corpse of Benjamin Franklin. I've got to defecate on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You know?
Oh, my God.
I need that moment.
Nicolas Cage defecating on the Tomb of the Unknown.
Not necessarily that, but the moment when you see in his eyes the realization that
he's like, I'm
going to
do this.
Him preparing himself, him resigning himself to doing the act is what I need.
If you want that, you can just watch the Ghost Rider movies, because he makes that face right before he changes every time. It zooms up on his face, and he's just like, I'm going to have to become Ghost Rider. He's going to have a CG face in like 5 seconds. And it's awful. It's nothing.
Remember in the second one where he was like...
I forget there is a second.
Well, he was like trying to...
I just know Idris Elba's in it.
He was trying to like interrogate this schmuck who was working for the devil or whatever. And who were the villains in that movie? There was like a cult or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's a cult.
Whatever. But he's like... He's interrogating this guy by threatening to go into Ghost Rider mode, and he's like Nick Caging the shit out of the scene. He's just like, I can't control it. That's more or less exact dialogue that I was just doing right there.
You know,
and he worked in a laugh and like
The last time I tried to watch a Ghost Rider movie, I couldn't tell if I was watching a Ghost Rider movie or Wicker Man. And I think it was the second one.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of scenes where I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? What is happening? Which Nick Cage movie was Wicker this? Man.
That's a great example of an enjoyably bad movie.
That's an example of what does... Is Nick
it
Cage
has
a
Nick
person?
Cage in a bear costume punching a woman in the face. It's a thing.
You know, I was just thinking of the bees, but... The bear costume.
His fight scene. I
forgot about the Sister Beach.
The character's fucking name was Sister Beach.
Man, someone put money to make that movie. Like, as much as we can laugh at Nick Cage and Wicker Man, somebody watched that and said, I'll produce it.
That was greenlit.
I'll throw money on
Someone
it.
Someone read that script and thought, you know what?
Well, the
Let's roll with
was
it.
Great.
Yeah.
So,
but someone was like, you know what we need?
We need Nick Cage. You know who has the dramatic presence to carry this movie?
Fucking Cage.
You know who's the only person we can pay money to wear a bear costume and punch somebody?
Nicholas fucking Cage.
Yeah, we're going to burn him alive at the end of the movie. It's going to be awesome, yeah. And he's going to scream and squeal. Only Nick Cage could have done that scene.
Only Nick Cage.
Only now, Nick Cage. He's the only one.
We're dumping
like
on
that.
Him, but Nick Cage is a treasure.
A national
treasure.
I wasn't even thinking of that, but yes. Yes, he is.
I don't know if I'd consider him a national treasure. You know, I'm pressed to think of more than 3 movies that he's good in.
Maybe so, but I always have fun watching a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can get behind all of it.
Maybe it's the same perverse sense of fun you would get watching a NASCAR wreck, but I have fun watching Nick Cage.
Did you just
movies.
Compare, like, death and murder to, like...
To Nick Cage? To You're Nick damn Cage. Right I did.
Nick Cage is equal to... Maybe greater than or the less than
I'm just
people
saying,
driving
not
and
not
accidentally
of,
dying.
Not the death, but like
the crash.
Morbid fascination of watching a wreck, yes.
The possible maiming and ending of someone's life. Or Nick Cage
we
acting.
We all know that we watch NASCAR to see someone turn right.
And someone else turn left.
Well, everybody turns left. We want that one guy to turn right.
Fuck it, I'm doing me.
You can tell I have no idea what's going on in NASCAR because I thought they were right.
I mean, it's like 3 hours of people turning left.
I think to defend my integrity here for a moment, people rarely die in wrecks in NASCAR. It's hardly ever.
I know, in all fairness, because I am who I am. I know nothing about the sport. The only thing I know is Rex.
One time I was on a bus.
Well, that's
ride.
What everybody.
I watch SportsCenter. Yeah, the only time I see anything about NASCAR.
But
is
one time I was riding
Rex.
A bus from Knoxville back to Nashville, and the people around me were all talking NASCAR. And I just remember thinking, how the fuck is there this much to talk about when you're talking about NASCAR? They kept it up for like an hour.
So he went left. Yeah. And
then left again.
Left again.
And then. 2 more laughs after that.
And then you know what? Well, around
like,
about the 103rd
apparently
left,
Danica
got
Patrick
gas.
Wrecks a lot, I found out. Like, apparently that's like, she has a bit of a reputation for always wrecking and getting out of the race.
So but she's my favorite NASCAR driver. Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
Man, that was a weird way to round that about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We went from diversity in, right. like, science fiction films to NASCAR.
I feel like we started, we went off the rails when Larry mentioned hentai tentacles.
Man, you know, sorry, that was like the soft version of the description.
Man, I'd hate to see the hashtags for this podcast. Nick Cage, My Little Pony,
Mr. Potato
Tentacles,
Head.
Mr. Potato Head, hentai.
Yeah.
Diversity.
NASCAR. NASCAR and diversity are in the same podcast. Yes. This is a miracle that we have achieved.
Hey, man, the cars are different colors. They're not the same color car. There's diversity in NASCAR.
They all even have numbers. A rainbow warrior.
There's one woman driver, and she's known for crashing a lot.
There you go.
America, ladies and gentlemen. America. That's the best way to describe America. There's one woman in a totally driven male sport where it's racing, and she's known for one thing, wrecking.
Theoretically, not a sport winning. Where there is no physical advantage one way or the other to being a man or a woman.
That's the reason they
She was originally known for the sexy GoDaddy dance in the Super Bowl.
Was that her?
Yes.
That's her.
That was her original sponsor.
You know what? I did not know that.
But she, I mean, that's what I mean. That's what got her name out
that's
there.
That's unfortunate because she's also apparently a Formula One racer as well as a NASCAR racer.
I knew she was a Formula One racer.
So she's broadly talented.
I'm Hispanic, so I know what Formula One is.
She could turn right
because,
and left.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Formula One's cool because, you know, it's not
well, Formula One is damn faster than NASCAR.
It's way faster. They do way more than turn left. And, it's way harder because the course, you know, isn't just flat and you go left. It's like, oh, hey, good fucking luck because this shit's hard. I mean, you have to, and the car is way faster and lighter. It's way easier to flip in that thing. Like, other than your tires and your engine, your car is basically weightless. So you are the only thing holding that thing down. So if you shift on a turn, you could actually flip your whole thing.
You're in a wire frame connected to an engine, essentially.
Yeah. I've driven, not per se a Formula One, but like as closest to it, and I flipped so many times. Driving those things are so scary. I don't think I got over 80, and I will say it was terrifying. It feels like there is nothing on you. You really do feel like you're about to die. So I can't imagine driving over 100 and something like that with quick turns.
But, you know, we forgot about the potato head.
Oh, hashtag.
Yeah. That was a huge part of the discussion tonight.
Man, what a world we got around to tonight.
Hashtag Darth Tater.
Hashtag Darth Tater.
So, final thoughts.
$30.
I'm looking forward to the Spider-Man trailers tonight. I'm pretty sure they'll be on before Rogue One next week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is the last time I'll be here before seeing Rogue One because I'm going to go to that next Thursday.
Makes sense. Yeah. Adam, final thought?
Outright Geekery will be hosting the first ever TaterCon.
Oh.
Where we will have
don't write checks we can't cash.
Taterpalooza.
Apparently there is a freaking fan base out here. Now they're going to be demanding that we put something together. Nice one, Adam.
Well, we have this wonderful Darth Tater right here. That's nice. A super deluxe version in the case.
It's cool it's if we do it in the shop, right, Larry?
Yeah. My final thought is I didn't know that such a fandom existed. And I'm not going to get into that, but I considered it.
I'm sorry.
But I considered it. He considered it.
I did.
You wavered for a moment.
I did.
There
Tony Starch.
You know, already a Tater Con.
And I stand corrected.
Is it called
Tater
Con? It
becomes more interesting once again.
Yes.
Now you need all of them again.
No. I'm still getting all of my headmasters right now. I'm
not getting
sure.
All of them. I'm just getting the ones that I like.
Well, yeah. But I like all the OG Autobot ones. I'm just missing
Rodimus
Highbrow.
Rodimus comes out soon.
I'm waiting for Rodimus. I have Blur, Chrome Dome, Hardhead, and Brainstorm.
I want to get Hardhead.
Oh, I got Hardhead, and he's cool.
He looks cool.
He's really... The big gun's really awesome. I haven't gotten any of the Decepticons. They were just okay to me.
Astrotrain.
I'm looking for Astrotrain.
Did we never find the Mr. Potato Head Megatron? Surely that
it
exists.
Didn't exist. It would be Starscream, Bumblebee, and Optimus.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you figured, like, if they made one, it'd be Optimus, and if they made two, it would be Megatron.
Mm.
But
yeah. I do. I want an Astro Chain. I have found Galvatron, though.
But, you know,
I do have a Galvatron also.
Yeah. I shudder to like think Galvatron, that there's going to be a...
It's a little disappointing. The helmet.
It's that.
I bet before too long we're going to be talking about the Mr. Potato Head Unicron. It's going to be this gigantic combination of different potatoes.
Now I'm going to go troll the internet for a Mr. Potato Head Unicron. Thank you, Taylor.
Isn't like Unicron supposed to be in the next Transformers or something?
Supposedly.
Well,
looked like it.
Probably.
That is all for this episode of Geeks of the Square Table. Come find us in Madison, Tennessee. Facebook.
Damn it.
Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, LinkedIn, all that. I don't know. I'm just guesstimating. On all your social media sites, find us facebook.com/ComicCity2 find us on OutrightGeekery.com.
Oh, I knew we had a live journal.
We have a LinkedIn.
We have a LinkedIn? Who the fuck
we have a LinkedIn? Zanga, too.
Why would anyone still have LinkedIn?